Hey there, foreigners. This is Rohit from BreakingTheBorders.com, home of the ambitious immigrants.
Our today's guest is Raj Siddharthan. He's the founder at Fresh Design. Raj is a user experience leader and a successful entrepreneur. And his passion is about creating products that enhance the way people live and work. Raj, welcome to Breaking the Borders podcast.
Hey, thanks, Rohit. How are you?
Yeah, doing good. Thank you. So tell me about your company, Fresh Design. What does it do?
Oh, so yeah, that's a good topic. We are a UX design consultancy, and we have a deep focus on enterprise and business software. So the real value that we add is there's a lot of people doing UX, but there's not a lot of people who's got the right skill and experience in designing complex and data-intense products. So designing for enterprise and business software is slightly different from designing for consumer products.
Yeah, right? What is one difference that you can point out?
The difference is, consumer products, most people use it for entertainment purposes, shopping purposes, it's more personal. But on the business side, there's, most people use products to get a job done, right? However delightful and entertaining the product is or interesting the product is, behind everything, people are trying to get a job done.
Yeah, that should make it easy for the UI design, right? Because it's just getting the job done versus...
Right.
Yeah.
So the difficulty really comes up when, you're dealing with domain knowledge, right? For example, if you're building an app or software for HIPAA compliance or building a software, a CRM software, right? So these kind of things, it does mean that you need to understand the business domain a little bit. And, sometimes you have to present tons of data in a product. And, so it's not like, your Twitter feed where someone's saying something and it shows up in your Twitter feed. Data and, information that you deal with is huge. So this has been a known problem in the UX area. You get great designers to work on consumer products. Everybody wants to work on consumer products, but then you don't find a lot of people who's got the right skills and the ability and talent to work on complex products, which is why enterprise products have sucked for the longest time.
Yeah.
Right?
So why is that you think that is the case? Enterprise, I was in the similar space as well, and enterprise products have existed for decades. And why do you think no one else did what you're doing right now?
Well, so part of the reason is, it's a tough problem to crack. It's a very tough problem. And, I pretty much have done this for a long time.
Yeah. So is a problem something that you experienced in your life before?
So if you ask me why I'm doing this.
Yeah. What get you to get started, right? That's my
curiosity. So partially I wanted to start my own consulting firm. So that's one thing. And second thing is I wanted to do something that I really know well, as opposed to getting into something that's new, right? That's, again, something that we should cover in detail in your future questions. But wanting to do something in the enterprise space had two advantages. One, I knew it really well. I knew exactly what my potential clients would be looking for and what they're looking for. And second, I knew what to give them, right? And so it coincided with my want to start a company on my own. So,
yeah. So what did it finally, you waited, seemed to be, your LinkedIn profile and you had a lot of work experience many years before you started it, right?
Yes.
What did it finally for you to take that leap?
It's really hard to leave a good, well-paying job to embrace, uncertainty. Right, entrepreneurship is all about dealing with uncertainty, and you don't know exactly what's going to happen. You don't have a steady paycheck, but then the rewards are good if everything works out. So it's just about people not wanting to make that leap of faith. Right, that's what held me back. Mm-hmm. And if you ask me, I pretty much had a good cushy 10 years, but again, it was great. It was a stable, great time. But then when you look at it, you're getting older, time's going by, and you haven't really made any progress on your dream or on your, future. So the thing is, not taking any risk is actually the biggest risk that you can take. So, that's what led me to...
How did you learn that? So that's what held you back while you were working. And what, release that hold on you to actually do take the step?
It's a mix of several things. You know, a lot of it is personal, a lot of it is career-wise and satisfaction and stuff. You know, ultimately, money is important. Again, you know, getting a paycheck is not the only thing. But then again, if you take a little more risk, you could make more money. You could be happier. You know, you could be doing things that you don't get to do in a work situation. Yeah. So
you said there is something personal, right? Is that something that you'd be comfortable to share?
Oh, yeah, I will. And so it's almost like playing a game, right? It's like a game where you're winning, right? So, you know, there's some satisfaction from there. And the personal reason is, you know, my daughter was diagnosed with autism a few years ago. And, you know, she's come a long way. And, you know, the struggle was huge for both me and my wife. And so that's the moment where we both looked at us and said, oh, yeah, wow, we were this classic, nice, American, happy family. You know, partially my wife is from here and I'm from India. So partial immigrant / American classic family. But then, you know, the moment you have an exception to deal with, you know, insurance becomes hard. You know, your support system, schools become difficult. And there's all kinds of issues that you face, right? So then you're facing a lot of trouble. And at that point, there's no point in wanting to have a stable, settled life, right? You're really prepped for taking the leap and, you know, trying out new things, right? So that's a personal side of the story.
I see. Yeah, sorry to hear that, but it takes a lot of courage to go through that, I believe.
Yes, it was actually. In fact, you know, my wife was really in the forefront of it, you know, fighting for our daughter. And, you know, she does a lot of, you know, sort of humanitarian activities, helping other families find services that they themselves can't get and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So the system is very complex and you need to have the right knowledge and right experience in doing this, right? So she's a paralegal, she's got some legal experience.
I see. I see. So when you started venturing out, what are you doing? Any prep work?
Yeah, tons actually. Yeah. So this is one mistake that I did not make, which is, you know, I knew that, you know, venturing out on your own is hard and it's going to take a lot of effort. So I started looking into what it takes to set up a company. I don't know why I did it, but someone told me, and you know, someone told me.
When did you start? When did you start? Like, when did you found your company? Let's start.
Oh, it's actually the 1st of January, 2013. Right? So it was a very planned activity.
So when did you start the prep work?
Maybe a few months before, okay. Right? Mm-hmm. So the prep work is really establishing your company, setting the right paperwork. Setting up your corporation, payroll, that, this, and all of that. And I treated myself as the first employee of the company. And, you know, so that way you set up all the things that you need. Because if you don't do all of that and you just start building a product or, you know, delivering a consulting service, then you run into issues with, oh, I don't have my payroll set up. Oh, I don't have my S-Corp set up. You know, new client that I'm trying to pitch to wants me to have insurance, but I don't have that. So you need to go through the validation stuff. So it's a lot easier to just get all of those paperwork up front, you know, talk to someone who's been through it and, you know, get all that done before, you know, you really start your practice.
So otherwise, all this would be a distraction from your day-to-day.
Even after planning, there's tons of distractions that I had to go through.
Yeah, so I want to ask you, I want to kind of challenge on that, right? So what about the part where you need to do the idea validation and those things? Don't you think those are more important than setting up S-Corp and things like that? Like, what do you have to say about that?
It's important, right? Yeah. So I'll tell you, the S-Corp thing is even more important, but then you have to go through idea validation. But in my case, being a consulting company, I didn't really have to do an idea validation. You know, we just could start jumping into consulting and start business.
So you already knew that the pain existed. So the idea was already validated is what you're saying.
Yes.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. And again, in the product realm also, here's the thing. A lot of people jump into things and then they have to validate the idea. that's mainly because people are trying to get into things that they have no idea what it's about, right? So here's the thing. If you're trying to build a product for a healthcare industry, you need to have some information. You need to have some knowledge about the healthcare industry, right? Just you can't just jump in and do a healthcare product just because you're a software engineer, right? You know, it's almost like this. You're a contractor building a hospital building. It doesn't mean that after that you can start running your own hospital, right? So being able to build a product for healthcare or something is different from running a healthcare business, right?
I see. So yours, since you are in services and consulting, you're saying it's much different from a product world.
But it's slightly different from product. But even in my case, I knew enterprise UX inside out, which is why I didn't have any problems, because I knew what my customers would ask for. I knew what to solve because I've been in that situation before. You know, I'm from the outside, I'm looking at the corporate me. You know, what was I looking for when I had a job? What kind of companies were I trying to hire? And, you know, it was easy for me to become that dream company, right?
Yeah. So what do you have to say to someone who is out there saying you're not building a product, right? Like, even entrepreneurship?
It is. So Silicon Valley has a crazy way of saying that, you got to build a product to be an entrepreneur. But, you know, the thing is, in my mind, the guy who has three pizza shops, bootstrapped and running three pizza shops is more of an entrepreneur than a guy who's sitting around and looking for funding, right?
So you mean to say that you're actually better off doing it than dreaming about it?
Yes. Yeah. You know, doing it, then dream about it, but then doing something that you know and, you know, getting out there, running a company, that's what entrepreneurship is about. The fine line, though, see, in Silicon Valley, people say, oh, it's an entrepreneur, or he's an entrepreneur, purely based on whether your idea is fundable, right? So your idea may not be fundable. You may never get a VC funding ever. But it doesn't mean that you don't have a business. It doesn't mean that you're not an entrepreneur, right? VCs will give money only to ideas that are viral, like Facebook or, you know, the LinkedIns of the world. They're not going to give money to start a pizza shop. But, you know, hey, the guy who's got 20 pizza shops in the valley, you know, hey, he's an entrepreneur. He's doing a show.
Why do you think that is? Why don't they give money to people?
There's several things. You know, it's a way of mitigating risk, and, you know, they just want to make sure you invest in businesses that give them 10 times plus or 40 times plus a return, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the main thing.
It is the upward potential, you're saying.
It's about the viral potential. You know, how will the business become 20 times worth or 40 times worth the valuation, right? At some point, right?
Yeah. So just now when we started, like a minute ago, you mentioned doing the prep work is one of the mistakes that you did not do, right? What is one mistake that you did do back in the time when you started that you would change it if you were to go back?
Man, I'll tell you a million, you know.
Let's start with one biggest.
Yeah, so, you know, actually, This is a very small thing. You know, we set up, you know, our web services on a very small, cheap web services company. And, you know, we saved money. We saved, what, $30 a month by doing that. But at some point, you know, it came to a point where, you know, they were not able to handle the kind of growth and, you know, the needs that we have. Then at that point, we had to migrate everything, right?
There an incident that happened because of that you can share?
No, I don't want to share incidents, but, you know, I'm trying to speak a little generic, you know, because I don't want to talk bad about any particular product or service. You know, we were using a payroll system that was optimized for, you know, pizza shops and mom and pop companies. But then at some point, you know, we figured out that, you know, it didn't really have the features that we need, and we had to go to something much bigger. So, you know, a lot of things, right? You know, so my point is, if I knew everything that I know now 3 years ago, I would be 4 more years ahead of where I am, right? So it's about learning, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It is always like that, right, in entrepreneurship. I'm seeing patterns from talking to people so far. And they say it's always a learning curve. And one of the things that I've surprised off about is that the challenges never go away. You just are having challenges at a different level now. Is that your experience as well?
Yes. Yeah. You know, so the challenges never goes away. Again, you know, uncertainties never goes away. You just learn to deal with these things in a better way. You know, it makes you a better person in many ways. You know, I'll tell you, you know, it certainly made me a better person. It gave me a different perspective on life itself, right? You know, when I was an employee and I was getting a, you know, pretty good paycheck, you take a lot of things for granted. But then as an entrepreneur, you're just seeing things differently, right?
I see.
So.
I see. Now, Raj, switching gears a little bit, can you tell us when you landed in US and what was your life like before that?
Right. I came in 98 and it was really a good time to be here. Mm-hmm. I went to IIT Bombay and I got picked up on the campus, and a company that picked me up brought me here, and I was with them for a few months. Then I joined another company, and so that was my beginning here. But then after that, the economy went down a little bit, and you know, I didn't have any problems finding another job. You know, I could easily find a job. So that's sort of the beginning. But then I went to large companies. My first large company was Oracle, right? And I stayed there for a long time, you know, so.
I see.
Yeah.
I see. What was your, you said you had no difficulties right in the beginning.
Right.
I mean, it's nice when things work out well. So when you started your company in the beginning days in Fresh Design in 2013, what was your toughest moment?
So the biggest struggle that I had was switching from an employee mindset to an entrepreneur mindset. You know, it may sound like I'm being very vague here, but you know, I constantly did things that I did in a work situation. But then I realized that, you know, I had to be acting differently and doing things differently, right? So that was very, very, very different. And
can you tell us about a thing that you did differently?
So a particular thing, let me think about this. I can't really think of a particular thing. You know, things like, you know, how do you gain trust from people quickly? You know, how do you...
That would exist in work culture, work world also, no, right? What is the difference?
Not as much, because in work world, you know, you're the guy for doing this, right? So, you know, people have to come to you to do this because you've been hired to do that job. Unless you screw up big time, right? That's the norm, right? But in my line of work, it's, you know, things are very competitive. And, you know, every time I pitch to a client, there's 20 other agencies pitching to the same client. So, you know, you really have to be number one to get that deal. Right. So not being acceptable and being number one is two different things. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's the difference. Right.
Got it. Yeah. Got it. So it's being good versus being great. In job world, it's to be good.
Yes.
But
yes.
In entrepreneurship, you have to be great.
Yes.
Is what you say.
Yes. Yes.
I see. Got you. So you mentioned some of the challenges that you go through. Right. Did you ever feel like, you know, scrapping and going back to your comfortable life
on a daily basis, right? it's again, you know, that's the uncertainty that I was talking about. You know, one day you feel so great about your business, one day you feel so great about yourself, next day something happens, you're doubting yourself. So in dealing with uncertainty is one of the most important qualities that you need as an entrepreneur. You know, I read this article somewhere where someone said, oh, being an entrepreneur is like riding a lion. You know, everyone's looking at you and saying, oh, yeah, look at that guy, so cool. But then you're thinking, oh, my God, if I stop, this lion's going to eat me. So it's kind of like that, right?
Yeah. So then what makes you keep going at it in spite of those struggles on a daily basis?
Right. So the rewards are much more satisfying. Like I said before, it's like playing a game. You know, you do right things and, you know, you're being rewarded. When you don't do the right things, you feel the pain. So it feels like you have more control on your life and your destiny and your goals than when you are working for somebody else. Although it feel, you know, companies set up employments in a way that you don't really know, you know, a lot of things are hidden. It makes it feel like, oh yeah, you know, this is forever, but you know, you don't really know the big price that you're paying. Right.
I see. Yeah. And we were talking about, you know, starting companies earlier, and you mentioned something about working on your company and working in your company, which I thought was very interesting. Can you talk about, more about that?
Yeah. So, you know, if you're running a consulting shop, you know, we'll talk about how that articulates in the product world in a minute. But when you're running a consulting shop, you tend to work mostly on projects. You know, you get a project, you're making sure that it gets delivered on time, you know, best cost and all of that. And you lose focus on your business, right? You lose focus on where you want to be with your business, where you want to take your business to. So that's why, you know, that's working on the business, right? You have to work on your business to make sure that your business grows and you have strategies in place for, you know, future and all of that, right? If you don't do those kind of things, you'll forever be, you know, in the delivery mode, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the difference between working.
I see. On- so it's like being the CEO and being the employee. As an entrepreneur, you have to do both.
Yes. So
that is the dichotomy you were referring to.
What I'm referring to is the point that a lot of people just stay as the employee, or you know, it's not really about CEO versus employee thing. It's more about people focusing more on the day-to-day activities of their business as opposed to the business itself, as in what it takes to take the business to the next level. You know, what should I be doing in 5 years from now? Those kind of things.
Right? Got it. Okay. So basically visionary work, right?
Yes.
Time to do the next work.
Yeah. And, you know, this not just for consulting, it applies for products as well, where, you know, you're short-term thinking and you're thinking of building a product, you're making quick revenue, but then, you know, is your product going to be around if some changes happen? You know, you have to think in those terms as well, right?
Mm-hmm. So, what has been the biggest win for you so far in your company?
Biggest win, you know, being able to, you know, talk about validation, being able to know that there's a market for what we're doing, right? Being able to win some really big clients. You know, we started working with Facebook early this year. That's a big win. And, you know, there's a bunch of wins like that.
Right? I see. What are other big companies that you can share that you're working with?
Yeah, we work with Facebook, we work with HP, work with Adobe. And, you know, again, we don't have hundreds of clients, but then the clientele is growing. You know, there's a lot of happy clients behind us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the beginning, I really thought I could just start a PowerPoint presentation and just get on the road and talk to people and acquire clients and, you know, hire a bunch of people and acquire clients. No, it's hard, right? So then I changed the strategy to one client at a time, right? So every pitch you do so carefully, so well that, you know, you do the best out of it and win it and deliver the best.
Okay. Yeah. So you have mentioned some big names, right, like Facebook and HP and so on.
Yes.
So is it safe to assume that you're financially very healthy?
Yes, it's safe to assume that.
Yes. So what are your revenues like?
I can't disclose that in this meeting. I'm sorry.
Oh, I see. Is it over $1 million?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I see. It's good to get a ballpark, at least because I've seen that it is very motivating for someone who's listening.
Right,
that you started from nothing and made $1 million business,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Right. How do you feel about that?
I feel great. The you know, biggest challenge has been, you know, you attain a certain level, attain a certain number, but then how do you repeat it, right? How do you keep repeating it quarter after quarter, right, the same wins? And how do you, make sure that the revenue don't go down, right? These are all challenges that I'm still new at, because, you know, I'm still learning the ropes of the game, right?
Yeah.
So I don't really know how, but, you know, I'm trying a lot of things right now to create predictability or predictable growth, right?
Mm-hmm. I hope you become very successful at that and we can chat again on how you did it.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So what is the advice that you would give for someone who's just starting?
Right. So if you're someone like me, you know, I would say just start, right? Just get out and start. Make a plan, stick to the plan, and, you know, make progress. You know, for me, I knew I wanted to do something on my own. I didn't really know what that is. I thought I'll figure out some point and blah, blah, blah. 10 years went by and I'm still looking at myself and saying, still haven't figured it out. And that was like, it was really lighting a fire under me, right? And, you know, that's really what led me to, you know, start. So the biggest risk again is not taking an initiative, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the whole concept of golden handcuff.
Yeah.
And the corporate world is very powerful, you know, because you're at one point you'll start making a lot more money than what you're doing is worth it. And, you know, there will be, you know, I don't know, I was afraid of an end point where, you know, yeah, I'm some big manager dude, but then I don't really have skills or anything to really.
Self-doubt, imposter syndrome, they say it, right?
Yeah. So, you know, I was afraid of that. And I was so, towards the end of my corporate career, I was so afraid that, you know, I was ready to, you know, make the leap.
Yeah, I have a lot of that too. Why is that someone going to listen to me, for example, right? And I still have it. It's not like I'm over it, but I still got started. But I'm glad you're saying that too.
I feel that if I ever have to go to the corporate world again, you know, you never know, right? But then I will be a much better corporate citizen than I was before. Not that I was a bad, you know, corporate citizen. It's just that I'll be a much more informed and mature corporate citizen than I was before.
Yeah.
Before we conclude, there's this quote that Carroll Shelby, you know, the guy who used to make cars, said, if you strip down everything that I have and put me in the middle of a Nevada business, a desert, in, you know, 2 days, I'll start my speed shop there and build up a business. So that's a thing, right? Once you're an entrepreneur, you just have it in you, right? You can repeat it, you can do it again.
Yeah.
So it's a
skill that one can learn irrespective of the details of what you're doing.
Yes. So the skill learning of becoming an entrepreneur is very important. Once you acquire that skill, there's a lot you can do with it. And again, my advice to people starting off is to not wait, you know, just take the plunge, take the leap of faith, right?
Yeah, got it. So before we conclude, Raj, is there any book or a resource that you would like to recommend?
So I don't really have a lot of time to read books at this point, but I'm a big fan of searching and finding data quickly on Google. And, you know, so I'm a big fan of that. But if you ask me for books, I thought about a couple small books. Who Moved My Cheese? It's a very good, interesting read. Mm-hmm. Crossing the Chasm. It's a very interesting book to read.
Okay.
So one thing I want to add is becoming a salesperson or becoming, not a salesperson, becoming better at sales was selling. One of the biggest, it was a big challenge for me. It's not just selling to a client. It's not selling your services to a client. It's also about selling your vision, selling your idea, selling your service, a whole bunch of, whole enchilada of selling, right?
So learn to sell.
Yeah, learn to sell.
Yeah.
Learn to sell yourself is a huge thing to learn, right?
So it's interesting that you mentioned that one of my friends who wanted to be an entrepreneur joined a secondhand car sales company just to sell. For an year, he did that before he started his own company.
Good. That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. You know, it's about doing such crazy things, right?
All right. Thank you very much, Raj, for joining us today.
You're most welcome, Rohit.
Thank you for tuning in. To get updates on latest episodes, make sure you subscribe with your email by going over to breakingtheborders.com. If you know anyone good as a guest, shoot me an email. I will reach out to the guest, get hold of them, and ask them all the questions that you have. My email is rohit@breakingtheborders.com. Thanks again, and have an amazing day.